This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Judges. And now here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Judges, teaching through chapters 17 through 21.
Turn to the book of Judges. We are in the 17th chapter of the book of Judges. The last five chapters of the book of Judges, along with the book of Ruth, provide us three episodes from this period of history. Ruth is a ray of sunshine. It's a bright light on a cloudy day. It shows that there were at least a few people during this period of Hebrew history that had placed principle above pleasure. But Ruth, sad to say, was the exception. For the two stories that we have tonight in the book of Judges are more indicative of the times, and they reek with unrighteousness. We're going to go through some spiritual sewage tonight. Judges 17 to 21 reveal just how far a society will deteriorate when everyone does what is right in their own eyes. You know, I like to call this the Outback philosophy. Outback Steakhouse used to have a commercial where a truckload of good-looking guys and gals, they all drive past these warning signs onto the beach. They violate the law. And then they have this fun and frolicking party complete with blooming onions and choice cuts of steak and brewskis for everyone. And all the while, the spokesman, you know, he's chanting the motto, "No rules, just right. No rules, just right." Well, you know, once I was at Outback Steakhouse, and I asked the waiter if I could substitute cheese fries for regular fries. And she looked at me like I was trying to change the U.S. Constitution. She says, "You can't do that. We can't change the rules." And I said, "I thought your motto was, no rules, just right." It seems the motto only worked when it's to Outback Steakhouse's favor. This is also what happens in an amoral society. People make up their own rules. You see, society requires rules. But once you toss out God's rules, it becomes a contest to see who can garner the power so that they can make rules that will best serve their own interests. And the results become nasty and brutal, as we'll see tonight. Just consider these last five chapters in the book of Judges. The first story in Judges 17 and 18 centers around a man named Micah. I call him Mixed Up Mike. Chapter 17 shows you just how convoluted life has become. Now, there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here is the silver with me, I took it." Now, the first bit of information we learn about Mike is that he steals money from his own mama. Can you imagine? He probably had a gambling debt. He was probably addicted to internet poker. And his mother said, "May you be blessed, my son. May you be blessed by the Lord." Oh, my. A mother with a blind love. Hey, the only reason Mike fesses up here is because he fears the curse that his mom has placed on the stolen loot. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you." Now, here it gets more bizarre. Micah's mama has dedicated this silver to Jehovah God to make a carved image for her son. Of course, you know that carved images were forbidden by Jehovah God. Carved images were a violation of the second commandment. You see, her attempt to honor God is a violation of God's own commandments. Here's her problem. She wants to serve God, but she wants to do it her own way. Then he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith. And he made it into a carved image and a molded image, and they were in the house of Micah. Here is the ultimate oxymoron. Micah makes an idol for God. How do you make an idol for God? God is against idols. He hates idols. Well, verse 5, the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now, in the name of Jehovah, Micah constructs his own shrine, sets up his own image of God, makes his own ephod, selects his own priest. He violates every detail of the law of Moses. You see, private shrines were forbidden by God's law. Old Testament worship was to be corporate and communal. It was supposed to be carried out at the tabernacle. Nothing tangible, nothing visible was to be employed in your worship. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman, God is spirit, and he is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And these priests, the Old Testament priesthood, were all to come from the tribe of Levi. These priests weren't Levite. Micah and son were from Ephraim. He violates every detail of the law. Verse 6 sums up Micah's problem. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now hear me. Evidently, there was a side to Micah that desired to be spiritual. Perhaps he sensed a deep longing for God in his heart. But rather than submit his will to God and pursue God the way God requires, Micah opted for a tailor-made religion. Micah constructed his own brand of spirituality. Here is a man who wants to be spiritual and who wants to be religious, but his spirituality has very little to do with the Bible. It's a hodgepodge of Judaism and superstition and even the occult. It's based on personal experiences and tastes, not the truth of God's word. Hey, welcome to our modern world. Every survey, every poll done today tells us that interest in spirituality is up while commitment to biblical truth is down. In their book, American Demographics, authors Cimino and Lawton explain what kind of religion people today desire. They write this, "It's a religion of the heart, not of the head. It's practical and personal, more about stress reduction than salvation, more therapeutic than theological. It's about feeling good, not being good. It's as much about the body as it is about the soul." You see, people today want a convenient spirituality without moral absolutes, without ultimate authority. They want a designer religion, not biblical truth. Oh, they're happy to embrace Jesus as a potential guide or a possible helper or maybe even their friend. But Jesus is Lord? That doesn't fit into modern notions of spirituality. The Washington Post recently ran an article. It was entitled, "A Church Away from Church." And it discussed the growing trend today toward establishing prayer rooms in your home. Other buzzwords were meditation seats or home altars. People called it creating sacred space within your home. One lady, she commented on the altar in her bedroom. It symbolizes an amalgam of personal beliefs and experiences and provides me with a more intimate and meaningful form of worship than any religious institution could offer. As part of her altar, she has several idols. They're goddesses, by the way. She has some Roman Catholic candles. She has some items that are sacred to Native Americans. Hey, it's mixed up Mike all over again. Today's spirituality is a quagmire of religious sentiment divorced from biblical truth. It's a heretical blend that has nothing to do with Christianity. Well, mixed up Mike's situation worsens in verse 7. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. Now here, a real bona fide Levite stumbles into the picture. I mean, he's got Levi genes. Micah wants to gain legitimacy for his religion, so he hires a live-in priest. Verse 8, the man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to sojourn wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" And so he said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance. 10 shekels in room and board, even an outfit." So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. And so Micah consecrated the Levite. Now, who is Micah to consecrate a Levite? Again, this is out there. And the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as priest." Notice Micah's faith is really nothing more than superstition. This itinerant Levite becomes a good luck charm. "Oh, God's going to bless me now. I've got a Levite as a priest." Micah has hired his own personal guru, his own spiritual trainer. Sounds new age, doesn't it? Well, the whole setup was a gross violation of God's law. In fact, drop down to chapter 8, verse 31, and read our author's reminder. Chapter 8, verse 31. "So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." See that? Micah wanted to be spiritual, but he didn't want to be obedient to God. I'm sorry, 18 verse 31. Chapter 18 verse 31. "So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." Here's my point. Spirituality and godliness, they're not the same thing. I know folks who claim to be spiritual. "Oh, I'm a spiritual person." But they ignore God's revelation. You can be spiritual and you can miss God. Did you know that? You can be spiritual and worship the wrong spirit. Godliness is spirituality that is obedient to God. This is the kind of spirituality I want. You know, I want to be obedient to God. I want to serve God. I want to love God, but I want to do it God's way. True spirituality, a real connection to God, can't be personalized to your own private tastes. Religion a la carte might be trendy, but it never will gain God's approval. True worship worships God the way God wants to be worshiped. Don't forget that. Well, chapter 18. "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in, for until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them." The Danites had grown impatient, and they had set out to find a place to settle. You see, the Danites had a weight problem. You might think I too have a weight problem, but the Danites had a W-A-I-T problem, a weight problem. They weren't willing to wait on God. You know, one of the first lessons we should learn as Christians is to wait on the Lord. God's will is best. And if we wait on God's best, the wait is always worth it. Well, so the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim to the house of Micah and lodged there. Now while they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing here? What do you have to do in this place?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we will go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So the five men departed and they went to Laish. Now the tribe of Dan had actually been allotted a tract of land along the southern Canaanite coast, land occupied by the Philistines. This might be another reason why they wanted to move. It was occupied by Philistines. And it was much easier to flee than it was to fight and take the land. It was less risk just to move out than to move on and trust the Lord. You know, sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it is a lot easier to just run from the challenge rather than it is to accept it and trust the Lord to overcome it. Well, they saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Well, they get up to this little town called Laish, and they think this is perfect. Laish was on the northern border between Israel and Sidon, north of the Sea of Galilee. Laish was kind of up in the mountains. It was near the headwaters of the Jordan River. Actually, when we visited Israel last time back in May, we went to the Dan Nature Reserve. And it's this beautiful nature reserve. There's all these flowing streams. There's this lush vegetation all over. This was the city of Laish, right there on the northern border of Israel. And the Sidonians, they lived much further westward, over on the coast. And so pretty much the city of Laish was isolated and alone. The land was fertile. It was prosperous. No marauding tribes that would come and attack. Perfect place to settle. Well, in verses 8 through 10, the spies return and they convince the other Danites to move with them. Verse 11, and 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. They traveled northwest. Then they went up and encamped in Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they called that place Mahaneh Dan to this day. That is, west of Kiriath-Jearim. They passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore, consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. Now, when these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth. And come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" When the priest tries to stop these thieves, they buy his devotion. And notice their offer. "Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a whole tribe? Hey, priest, come with us and you can pastor a bigger church." You see, this is a step up for the Levite. This is a promotion. He wasn't committed to Micah. He was just a hired gun. He was just a priest for sale. He was open to the highest bidder. You know, they say, every man has his price. That was certainly true of this Levite. He sold out. You know, it's one thing when the people do what's right in their own eyes. But the tragedy about this period of time is it was also indicative of the leaders. You see, not even the priests were truly committed to the call of God. It's sad today when pastors seek a better offer, a a more lucrative job rather than God. Where do you want me to be? Rather than seek the call of God, they seek the better offer. How many pastors have accepted a call to a smaller church? So the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod, the household idols and the carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" Sound like a bunch of hillbillies, don't they? "What ails you?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Now, as I said earlier, every society requires laws. Rules are inevitable. But when you throw out God's laws, then it's left up to the people in power to make the rules. In other words, the law of the jungle goes into effect. It's now might makes right. "We took these idols because we could. We're stronger than you." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and he went back to his house. And how tragic to worship a God that can be stolen. Do you worship a God that can be stolen? You know, here's the problem with today's feel-good, tailor-made, personalized religion, religion a la carte. It doesn't survive the tough times. It doesn't make it through the storms of life. The storms steal your faith. Only faith tied to the solid rock, Jesus Christ, can withstand life's storm and stress. Well, the rest of the chapter tells us how Laish was defeated and how the city was renamed to Dan. And this Levite, his name is Jonathan, served as Dan's own personal priest. He was the best priest money could buy. All the while, God's priesthood ministered in Shiloh. Design a religion might make you feel good, but it never pleases God. And here is the problem with wrong worship. It produces wrong living. You see, ungodliness always leads to unrighteousness. Fail to follow God and you'll fail to do what's right. When a person believes wrong, they eventually behave wrong. Or it's been said, when God goes, anything goes. And the final grisly story in the book of Judges shows just how true this is, how utterly immoral, ungodly people eventually become. And this last story, I got to warn you, it's going to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Chapter 19. "And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, and there was a certain Levite staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim." This was a different Levite, by the way. He was also living among the tribe of Benjamin. "He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Now, in ancient times, it was common for men to keep concubines. You remember Hagar was Abraham's concubine. In essence, a concubine was a legal mistress.
Listening to Bible teaching here on the radio is a huge blessing that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world simply don't have. We rejoice in this opportunity to share Pastor Sandy's messages with you. We do want to be sure to remind you that radio is not a church. Radio should be a complement to what God is already doing in your personal discipleship through the local body of believers that you're a part of. Maybe you're listening today. You don't have a home church. You've visited various places, but nothing seems to fit. First, if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we want to personally invite you to join us for worship at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. For more information, including driving directions, please log on to sandyadams.org and follow the link to the church website. Now, if you're listening outside of the Atlanta, Georgia area and are looking for a home church, we encourage you to log on to calvarychapel.com and find a Calvary Chapel in your area that teaches through the Bible, just like Pastor Sandy does each day here on this program. Well, we wish we had more time today, but we've come to the close of today's broadcast. Be sure to remember to join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.